Podtacular, episode 286, The Lightning Round, for May 3rd, 2012. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I am your co-host, G. Lewis. Let's get the hype train going, people. It's going to be a short episode.
It's going to be a very short episode because Daft decided to disappear on us.
I don't know what short is for us, so it's only going to be 3 hours this time. So, guys.
Well.
I'm kidding. We don't need to waste time with this. We got important stuff to talk about, and we don't got much time to do it. We don't have much time to do
it. You don't have much time. And Daft has been no great.
Yeah. He's lost in Azeroth.
He did something. He said 9:30, and it was 9:35, and he was disappeared from Skype. So
it has been a glorious week. Mr. Chef is back.
Mr. Le Chef. He's back. Yes.
Better than ever. He's quiet.
He's back.
I forgot how handsome he was.
We just know that he's back. Better. That even makes sense.
It looks like you're seeing him in the picture this week in the bulletin from like a perspective of you getting shot and you're about to die. You know, all the red
it's
all
like,
around it.
What did you call me? Bam!
Your worst nightmare, Frankie in a Halo suit.
That would be
in the Mjolnir armor.
Frankie.
That should be his new name. Let's get Frankie!
That's true. Wasn't there that one line in Halo 2 with the Grand Birthday Party skull? It was, let's get Frankie!
Yeah.
We used to have that part of our intro, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, from Stacker. Stacker used to say that if I am not mistaken.
A little pot tack history for you, fellas.
Yes. Cream corn sandwiches for everybody.
So the bulletin was written by Frankie this week since Jess is out in L.A.?
I don't know where they're recording this. Yeah, but she's not in Seattle or Redmond or wherever the heck they're at.
Kirkland.
She's not in Washington. She is in a different state where she is filming, or I'm guessing she's like somehow helping the filming process of the new live-action series that we'll probably see in the fall or... Maybe
is that what she's doing?
That's what it says at the start of the bulletin.
All right. I haven't had a chance to read. I've been head deep in work this week. I've probably worked about a total of 10 hours this week. So.
Okay, so I guess he doesn't exactly say that she is there. It just says she's out at a shoot. I assume that meant at the 402.
Okay, so that, yeah, no, you're right. That's probably.
So, I mean, I'm not going to say that's what it is, but...
Well, I think it's...
Can I say this because they said that they have actors coming that we know. Can I just speculate that Jen Taylor is going to act as...
They already confirmed that.
No. She's going to be in Forward Unto Dawn as Halsey or something. That would be super awesome.
If there's a Halsey somehow related, then yeah, she's probably voice acting it.
Well, no. It's not... No, I'm talking about acting.
Oh, like in person? Yeah,
that would be awesome. Steve Downes is actually Master Chief.
Yeah, he's all decked out in the costume. That'd be interesting.
What
would have happened to his radio show?
I mean, they could be without him for a weekend. It's not like he needs to be there every day. Everybody gets a vacation every now and then.
Where are you, buddy? We started without you. Welcome to the show. Oh, wait, he doesn't have his mic yet.
Oh, well, we'll say hello when he gets his mic.
Oh, hi! Nice of you to join us for the last minute.
I was just going, what?
He was,
nothing.
He was taking number two in the bathroom, don't worry. Okay, stuff happened. It's your call.
Sorry, I was just jogging.
Oh.
That's what the kids call it.
Well, you said 9:30 and you weren't online, so we started.
Oh, it's okay. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay. Okay.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about the bulletin and how short it was and how Frankie wrote it.
Have we mentioned the railgun yet?
No, that was not in the bulletin, so...
Oh, it was on Game Informer, .com, an article,
I guess we'll talk about that, because not really anything happens in the bulletin, except they just talk about how they're focusing on large maps. Well,
series.
Well, they don't really talk about it very much. They talk about how big maps are going to be big, and how the big maps are going to have vehicles. Confirmed. Confirmed, everybody. And it's also, I am really, I really wish I would have got a college scholarship to play football, because if so, I could have been drafted this week. And if I was drafted this week, I could have been playing Halo 4 right now, in addition to co-hosting this wonderful show. So, oh well. I should have played better. I should have caught more passes. Anyway.
Anyway. Seriously, you play football in like high school or something?
Yeah, I played since I was like 6.
All right.
Yep. Interesting. I played.
We'll probably get into more detail in that in our next show, since we're making this one a little short.
Yeah.
So, you have other priorities. Sucks, but that's life.
Mm. The new railgun looks pretty sweet on Game Informer.
It does.
You want to talk about it there, Dad?
Well, yes.
Well, yes, of course.
Do you mind if I do?
Let me just get to the Game Informer article. Hang on.
Okay, the railgun looks like, to me, it sounds like a mini Mac gun that's going to be shooting Mac rounds at some dirty covenants. I will be using it.
The design almost reminds me of the...
Bogus rifle?
No, I guess kind of. I was thinking more of the Covenant grenade launcher. I forget what it's called.
Concussion rifle?
Yeah. It somehow reminded me of that.
I mean,
it's a little long and straight to be like that, though.
No, yeah, I know. But for some reason, that was the weapon design that came to mind when I...
It looks like the focus rifle, like, a little bit, in my opinion.
So no, I mean, yeah, thinking focus rifle now, it makes... Yeah. Totally makes sense.
Yeah. Just here on the Game Informer article, the ARC-920 railgun is a compact channel linear accelerator that fires a high explosive round at incredible speed, delivering both kinetic and explosive force to both hard and soft targets alike.
That's what she said.
To me, it sounds like a mini Gauss cannon in your hands, basically.
Yeah,
well, the thing is, the Gauss cannons, the rounds don't explode.
They kind of do. Looks like it.
I mean, it sounds like they do if they don't. I mean,
no, it's just like depleted uranium and whatever.
I think it looks pretty cool about how
like
all the weapons...
It doesn't have explosives like in the shells. It's just because of the impact and because of the type of metals used to create the shells, it is very destructive, but they're not explosive rounds, so that's a little different.
It does sound like the concussion rifle in the terms of its usefulness. It doesn't really look like it, but it does sound...
The linear accelerator part kind of, you know, that's where that sounds kind of like the Gauss cannon.
Oh, yeah.
You think it's open because it gets too hot? Because it gets too hot? Is that why?
Overheat? I mean, probably, if it's like a kind of an energy-centered weapon.
I wonder if it's going to be able to reload it or, you know,
maybe it's got like little, like clips of, I don't know, whatever the energy is.
It could be like a Mass Effect gun where you just put like a screw in there and you just shoot the damn thing.
I don't think it's that simple, but okay.
One day.
I find it interesting that it says recoilless. You would think something with that of that high caliber would have...
Well, it doesn't have a high caliber. It's like a small... It's like a Mac... like a Mac round is really like a small piece of metal that they just...
Yeah.
Have had a great velocity.
And I guess it is all magnetically driven, so I guess there wouldn't be much recoil at all.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And it's cool to note that they're the only... all the other weapons are made by the same people. I guess it's how they're going to say they all look pretty similar, except for the railgun. I don't know about the rocket launcher or grenade launcher, even if we're going to see them. I'm pretty sure we'll see the rocket launcher.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to see the pits.
All the classics are going to be back. You know that much.
Yeah. But everyone's really more excited about, like, the non-classics. Like, I'm personally, I'm interested in the assault carbine, whatever that's going to be like.
Is it?
Well, yeah,
is
I mean, everyone's going to be interested in those because that's just the
new
stuff. Yeah.
I think the assault carbine is going to be like the assault rifle, but single shot.
That sounds really weak, actually.
I mean, is that what it's going to be?
Those individual assault rifle bolts are pretty feeble.
Well, it just sounds like that the battle rifle is really for like up close, and DMR is for like really far away, and the assault rifle is for people that can't aim. I'm just kidding. But
right.
I really like the. I think they're gonna have a good variety. I don't know. I personally don't think that you know too much is good. I'm with the Brent philosophy of things. There can be too much, but you know I'm not gonna say it's bad for the game. It may just be bad for my decision making.
Yeah, I just feel like the Halo the series. The series weapon arsenal overall kind of needs to be reinvigorated a little bit at this point.
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean by reinvigorated?
I mean, it's just like every year it's like, I mean, yeah, you got the classics are they're good. They're the classics exactly, but I don't know. You don't want the same like paradigm every single installment. The same kind of you know all these guns again. Like, so and then maybe just one or two.
Well, why not?
I mean, it just gets stale.
The same game is. It progresses.
Yeah, but that's not progress if it's just the same, you know, setup of guns every time.
Well, they look to reconfigure and remodel and change how they affect gameplay a little bit. And as you would think that military technology would evolve, I would assume they would try to do the same thing with the weapons. But at their core, they're the same weapons. They just operate slightly differently depending on the game. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Adding like what
is a smart linked telescope? Is that like a scope that's inside of your HUD? I don't know. I never heard of that.
It says I'm more interested. Oh, well.
Smart linked telescope.
Where are you seeing this?
Under the DMR.
Oh yeah.
It's like I would imagine that's
like how you zoom in when you don't have like a scope weapon, right? When you kind of like zoom in with your HUD.
I thought that was like a binoculars thing. Anyway, I don't know. I just was reading and going, does that mean that they don't need the scope? Why the hell is there a scope on the thing? Whatever. I'm sorry. I'm just talking out loud.
I'm just, I mean, okay, like, I'm a little more...
I think by the smart link, they're talking about how all the scopes are wirelessly linked to your HUD.
Well, the only one that mentions it is the DMR. So.
Right, which is a little... not sure.
Anyway, I mean, I like the idea of how they're making them a little bit different. I really enjoy the DMR and Reach. I'm glad to see it coming back. And the BR has a good idea of having three shots. It sounds like when you're playing the campaign, if you have the option to have both, you're going to have... these are going to be the bread and butter of what you're going to use most of the time.
Well, From listening to the Game Informer podcast that was out today, it sounds like, at least for your loadout, you're going to have classes of weapons that goes into each one. So I would assume that the Battle Rifle and the DMR fit into one class, and you'd be able to choose one of those for that class slot. And then like the second class would be like if there was an SMG, it'd be your SMG and your pistol. And then you have a grenade class, and then you have a armor abilities class.
Yeah, primary and secondary. Now, would the assault rifle be primary? I think it would be, right?
I would think so. I would say the assault rifle, the battle rifle, and the DMR.
And maybe the assault carbine?
Depending on what the assault carbine is, yeah.
Okay.
If it's like the SMG, assault carbine is probably going to be a secondary.
I think assault rifle is much too powerful to be a secondary.
What do you think about the assault carbine being like the scoped SMG? What do you think?
Oh, like from ODST?
That would be awesome.
I mean, that'd be interesting. Yeah, I guess it kind of be like a scoped assault rifle, hence assault carbine.
Yeah, with one shots. That was awesome gun. I really enjoyed it.
It's going to be interesting seeing the difference between the BR and the DMR in Halo 4, and then the difference between the sniper rifle and the railgun.
Well, is the railgun necessarily supposed to be like a sniper rifle equivalent?
Well, the railgun is a little like it scopes. I mean, I don't see a scope on the.
Yeah, I feel like it's more like a mini Gauss cannon, basically. Yeah, like a power weapon.
I think it's gonna be like.
Right, but Gauss cannon if you the Goss Warthog is one hit kill.
This may.
Similar kind of weapon as far as like you know the projectile it shoots.
If you look at the Spartan laser.
But it might not
there.
But it might not like. But I'm saying I think it might be like the same exact material as a Goss can. Like it just sounds like it from the description.
I think it's gonna shoot out companion cubes. Just
so. I mean, maybe it won't
Stop
be.
Stop fantasizing.
I don't think if it was a mini Goss cannon, it would be like one shot kill, because that would be. I think that'd be way too overpowered. Maybe it'd be like a two or three shot kill.
The Mac gun and Goss cannon are rail guns, so it has to be like it in some kind.
Yeah,
of way.
It's basically a compressed version of it.
Yeah, so it's gonna be badass.
The technology's gonna do the same.
Shut up.
I'm just intrigued as, like, new human weapons, because, I mean, you know, Covenant weapons, I mean, that's just alien. I mean, they can be as creative as, you know, they can make up anything, but I'm just kind of interested to see, like, you know, wherever the human weapons come in this future.
I just hope we don't get stuff like C4 and stuff like that. Like, come on.
Well, yeah. I mean, we have the trip mine in Halo 3, right?
What? Well... I mean, they kind of nerfed that to a degree. It wasn't very effective in Halo 3.
The tank mine?
Yes.
Yeah, because it wasn't sensitive enough. Because you could like walk on the thing and it wouldn't blow up. Sometimes. I'm not gonna say all the
sometimes.
Time.
Sometimes. Whenever I walked on it, it blew up.
I could drive over.
But I know, it wouldn't kill you. It would just deplete your shield fully, but it wouldn't kill you unless you were in a vehicle and then it'd make the vehicle possibly blow up. But maybe not all the time.
So, what is your guys' take on the Covenant is in the very first part of the game?
I think it's fitting.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that...
It's just like Halo 1, where you're being chased.
It's just traditional. And then, like, people who, you know, maybe aren't as devout as we are, but they're still interested in Halo, they'll be like, oh, this feels familiar.
I don't have a problem. If you were, like, Glasslands, it makes a sensible transition to the new trilogy of is not you're not fighting exactly the Covenant, you're fighting
leftover factions of the Covenant.
Well, you're kind of fighting the heretics, the people that actually first went away from the Covenant, like originally, and they
we were fighting the most devout Covenant who stick with it till the end, actually.
And
the heretics would be the
Arbiters people,
right?
Well,
sided with us.
Well, you remember in Halo 2 when you were fighting the heretic people? Remember that?
Yeah, as the Arbiter, and then the Arbiter basically changed sides.
Yeah, that faction would have joined the UNSC, yeah.
I don't think it exactly went that way, but from what I recall from the book, the way that it went is there were still some of them around, and that's pretty much who you're fighting at the end.
So do you think they found the beacon first? Before the Undawn beacon?
I'm gonna guess that they find that planet first. It looks like from the reveal. So I can't speculate. There's no saying of what happened. I would think that the humans find him first if he's gonna have all these options to new armor and new weapons and stuff. It's gonna be weird if you have different armor at the start than in the second level. You know,
yeah, I think that's what this web series is probably going to clear up before Halo 4.
Oh, that maybe the new Mjolnir was already on the Forward Unto Dawn?
I don't know if it was necessarily on the Forward Unto Dawn. There's a lot of holes that we have to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, they'll come through with it.
I'm guessing that's what this live action series is going to be.
I hope it's like Leech, where it's varied and we don't fight Flood, so... But if we fight Flood,
I wasn't expecting the Covenant to be this heavily involved in Halo 4.
It didn't make sense to me either until you read Glasslands, so...
Well, I just finished the first book this last weekend, so... People who have heard that, I gave away some codes this weekend. And three people got some Avatar goodies, so... I am starting the next one, which is the Flood, so hopefully I'll have that one done.
The Flood's the worst one, it really is.
Well, I'm still going through them all. There's little side stories in there, too.
Well, yeah, Flood, just Halo 1 in book form, but I find it pretty enjoyable. I actually thought it was better than First Strike, which I found kind of boring at parts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
guns. I like the style of Nyland as he did the first strike and Fall of Reach.
Yeah,
I think like,
but again, for the Flood, there's the writing is different. Personally, I don't find it as
favorable. It's more rushed.
The other
it's
one.
More rushed.
Well, I just feel like since it's based off Halo 1,
right?
It's like a more kind of coherent like adventure all the way through. As
the
opposed
nice
to
thing
first.
About that book is you get to see what the other Marines on the ring are doing.
Yeah.
You get that other aspect.
Lieutenant,
that's not necessarily
Lieutenant Melissa McKay.
I guess that's cool when the ODSTs are holding the I forget exactly what it's called, but that mountaintop, and then the Covenant keep trying to attack. And the Chief comes back, and then they infiltrate the Pelican, the Covenant guys, and they get an invisible elite in there. Anyway, that's pretty cool.
If you were to rewrite the book, per se, in how it is now, I would still say that you could still do it. You just wouldn't focus as heavily on the Chief story, and you would just involve more of the Marine groups.
Yeah, I really don't like... I hope in the next game they kind of merge how humanity really seems to be compared to in the books. They don't really get slaughtered as they... Well, in Evolutions they kind of do, but not really in the other books. They don't really... Or, I mean, they beat the Covenant on the ground, but in the game... And the Marines can't do anything. They
supposedly, the Marines are pretty competent. It's just the Covenant always beats us in naval battles. And like they're just glass planets, so what's the point of the fight at the end of it anyway?
Yeah. I mean, but like on the ground, when you see in Halo the Flood, because there's no other really big ships around, that most of the fighting's done on the ground. So they do pretty good. The Banshees kind of mess them up. Other than that, they do pretty good. And like in Evolutions, they get murdered all throughout that book. But anyway,
I don't know, with First Strike, like, it was pretty decent overall, but I don't know, some parts is like, okay, you know, Cortana's hacking into, the Covenant's, you know, the ship's network, now she's chatting with an AI, this is kind of dragging on, this is dragging on pretty long.
The only one I haven't read all the way through that I want to read is Ghosts of Onyx. I haven't read the...
One of the best ones.
I started reading that like 3 times in a row and I never could get to it, so I'm hoping with this reboot of me reading, I'll actually bash through it.
My favorite one's probably Contact Harvest, but I'm not interested in the Forerunner. Like, I try to get into it and I just, you know...
Well,
I
have a feeling that's what the majority of this trilogy is going to be about, so...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just don't care about precursors and linking them to how human. Okay, I'm really getting into Screwed Story for people, so we should probably just stop.
Well, the book's been out, so. Granted, I haven't read it, but it's been out.
It's getting late for me, so I think I need to call it a night.
Okay.
Really?
I gotta get about 6. I mean, it's like 10. I mean, you know.
Romney's come to town.
Well, we have let's make this at least 30 minutes. We have if we can stretch it out 5 more minutes.
Okay.
30 minutes.
Well, talk about the stuff you want to talk about.
All right. So one of the other things from the VIP event that happened in New York, which I didn't get invited to, sadly. But BS Angel's gonna say fired on Twitter whenever she hears this. Is that the Sprint, which is now part of your regular, I don't want to say loadout, but it's the ability that you have regardless of your armor ability. Yeah. Yes. Is now mapped to
the thumbstick, right?
Your left thumbstick, which is typically crouch, and crouch is mapped to switch grenades, which is typically, what was it, in Reach B?
I mean, I play a recon, so it's different for everybody. But they said there's a ton of controller configurations, and that's just what default is. It's not.
I would really like to see developers implement more of a freestyle assigning of actions.
Like you do on the PC, I guess?
Well, PC, you can customize anything because it's a keyboard and you can do macros and whatever, but...
Well, even on controllers.
Even for doing it how they did it in Fallout 3. Have a class of actions that you can assign to buttons or D-pad or whatever.
Well, I mean, they didn't really get too far into it, but from what I read, is your customization is going to be pretty in-depth for your controller layout.
Oh, really?
They said that you can basically change anything. That's what I was reading. Somebody's point of view that went to it. I mean, there's been tons of them, so I don't exactly recall which one it was. But one in particular was complaining about, because they use Bumper Jumper, and there's really no point to use Bumper Jumper anymore because of the layout with Sprint always on, that he couldn't really get it to work right. I don't remember who that was. I think that was actually Louis Wu, if I remember correctly, because I think he plays Bumper Jumper.
That sounds right, yeah.
I think that's exactly who it is. So I remember reading about that from somebody. I believe it's him. I'm not going to say that. I just believe it's who it is.
Another little detail that I kind of picked out was that for the radar, they now have little up and down arrows. It's not triangles and darker circles now.
Oh, well, that's useful to see if they're on top or bottom of it.
Yeah. So I'm wondering what the transition is going to be like for going from the dot to up the up arrow. And this was one of the things I was talking about, or I was discussing with Cruel Legacy when we were playing the other day. But you guys know how the radar is basically 25 meters in a perfect cylinder around you, up and down. It can go as high or as low as possible.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if 343 has had the foresight to limit the radar to an actual sphere. Of a radar. Instead of having the cylinder, have it a sphere. What would you guys think of that?
That would kind of... I guess that wouldn't be that bad, but... I mean, that would kind of kill linear or vertical play, because the whole point
If you think about the realistic parts of what the radar would be, if you have a 25-meter radius of what your radar is capable of, you shouldn't be able to get radar pings from 1,000 feet up in the air.
I guess that means then your range would be infinite.
Yeah, your range is technically infinitely up and down.
Oh no, I'm getting people on Radness 9. I don't know how this is working.
That's just one of those little things that...
I guess if we wrap this up earlier, the stuff they went over on the podcast, basically they confirmed Forge is coming back, which, I mean, whatever, yep. We already knew that. They confirmed dual wielding will not be coming back. They confirmed that there will be somewhat limited weapons on every single map at the moment. There are no multiplayer bots. I guess that means no firefight. I'm not really too sure what that means.
I think just the limited weapons is that you're not going to have every weapon on every map. I don't think that's really changed from the core philosophy of Halo 3.
It just seems like that the rocket launcher or the sniper is going to be appearing at different places. Not like, you know...
Well, they mentioned that on the Sparkcast, where smaller maps are going to have things like rockets and shotguns, and bigger maps are going to have things like sniper rifles.
Yeah.
But I still think in Forge and custom games, you're still going to be able to use the whole arsenal of weapons that you're going to get.
They also go to mention that Halo, I don't really know how this makes a difference or what it significant is, but it's not going to have a dedicated server on Xbox Live. I thought they all did already, but...
No, they mean like in terms of having... Like, you know how PCs have dedicated servers, like the server hosts and then everyone joins in the server? That's what they're talking about. They're not talking about...
So your Xbox can't be a server anymore?
No. It's still Halo as Halo always was.
It's nothing different. Okay.
Like for Battlefield, whenever you go into Matchmaker or multiplayer, you're playing on dedicated servers hosted by EA.
Even on Xbox?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, on EA. Yeah.
Not so much anymore with that... rent the server update on Battlefield 3 recently. When you run the matchmaking, often you put it on servers that are run by users just like us.
Right, but they're still dedicated servers.
And
before the update, they were all dedicated servers run by EA. Granted, yeah, they're still all
I
dedicated
miss those
servers,
days because now you go on there and you see messages at the beginning of the match that say stuff like don't use the USAS 12 or I'll boot you. Then if you're doing really good, They might switch. They might switch your team, which team you're on. The admin will put you on another team, or they might even just kick you outright.
That's what I'm serious.
Me and my friends have gotten kicked from many games lately. It's getting a little ridiculous.
Everybody who kills me is getting booted from my server.
I mean, that's basically what's come down to it. I mean, admin is the highest new up in Battlefield. You know, what is this admin? How do I acquire this power?
It's no longer about fun. It's about me winning.
Basically. Oh yeah, did you hear the DICE or whoever they released those the class shortcut packages on the marketplace? So now for like 800 Microsoft points, you can buy like all the unlockables for like each class and stuff. That's a little ridiculous. That's stupid.
It's a moneymaker. People will buy it.
I know. I get the business standpoint. I just like it's like what's the point anymore?
People want them.
Got to earn them. It's part of the fun.
Well, some people don't want to do that. Yeah. They're appealing to another audience that just wants to have everything. So, if you want to play to have fun to unlock it, it's not stopping you from doing that. It's just giving other players the possibility of unlocking stuff if they don't want to wait.
Mm-hmm. So they're taking the route
money
of,
for that.
They're taking the route of a free to play MMO where the people who pay for the you know, the non-obligatory this and that are the more powerful players.
Well, look at Team Fortress 2.
Isn't that just hats and stuff? Or
their revenue increased 12-fold when they went free-to-play and they have the store.
Boom?
No, I get the business standpoint. I'm okay with the business. Like, that's fine. I just, as far as a gameplay, like a progression and everything, I think it's unhealthy.
Are you talking about, what game are you talking about? Sorry.
Team Fortress 2.
Greg, your mic is super quiet.
I am very far from my microphone. Now I am not.
Well, all I'm saying is it's just unhealthy for like the multiplayer suite as far as like the players and the progression and stuff. And like competitiveness. More money, you know, you win, right? More better stuff for you.
Team Fortress 2 has a very strong competitive community, and it hasn't been affected by the store at all. So,
let's wrap it up.
I don't think that's really a detriment to any game that does that. It's just another thing that gives players options.
I think that we need to start asking for specific submissions. Have we got
again?
I mean, I guess it's okay for like games like you know Team Fortress, which has been out for like very very long. So it's like you know anyone who's you know it has its dedicated fan base and. I guess like now that's okay for the shortcuts, but a competitive game like Halo or Battlefield, I mean, if they did a shortcut, you know, pay for the shortcut thing like on day one, that'd be horrible. That'd be outrageous.
On Reach? I mean, on 4?
Yeah. If you pay us Microsoft points and you can unlock everything right now on day one, like in 1 second, I mean, that'd be awful.
It depends on your point of view.
What is your point of view, Dusty?
I personally don't like it, but I'm not against them doing it.
You don't have to play devil's advocate. You can speak your opinion.
it's not for me, I guess, would be my best assessment.
But besides you, like, what do you think of it as far as the big picture is concerned? Right?
It's all up to the developer. It's the developer's game.
Okay.
They can do what they want. As long as it doesn't adversely affect the experience for me and it doesn't give an unfair advantage because they have some extra perk because they bought it. Then I'm fine.
And what if it does? What if it does?
If it does, I might have a little bit of an issue depending on how much it affects gameplay.
Okay.
So if it take Call of Duty for example, I know we're trying to wrap this up, but take Call of Duty. Say you were able to buy something where you could unlock the Moab in 16 kills instead of 24. That would be something that would adversely affect the game. That I would say no, that shouldn't happen.
Wait, so
something
you're saying make it easier to unlock? Because I'm talking like pay money to unlock it.
Well, I was just saying that as an example.
Okay, I feel like making it easier is different from paying money because I mean even if it's easier, you still have to play the game. I mean it's just whoever has the biggest wallet
to unlock something to make it easier to kill someone. It's kind of the same thing.
Okay.
And yes, I know they're a little bit different, but that was the example I came up with.
I just feel like it kills all motivation.
If you let it affect you that way, I think it does.
I don't know. It's just like, say they did that for Halo 4, hypothetically, and like I work really hard and I unlock something, but it's like, you know,
it's the whole recon issue.
No, well, that's a little different because that's purely aesthetic. That's not even a gameplay issue. But it's like, say I work really hard on.
Did special things, and now everyone's getting recon.
No, but that's still just an aesthetic. It's not a gameplay issue. Gameplay is totally different than any cool aesthetic.
But the mentality is similar.
I don't know. But recon doesn't. I don't think recon pisses people off as much as a gameplay thing would, just because it's not affecting gameplay.
You're right. Yeah.
But I'm saying like Halo 4.
I did put so much work into getting this item, and now everyone is going to get scot-free, and now I have nothing to show for my efforts that I did.
What is this? Craig is calling. What the heck?
Craig?
Yeah, Lubes. Shout out to Lubes. Anyway, right. What I'm saying is like, yeah, say I work really hard to unlock a certain gun or whatever in Halo 4 or armor ability, but you know, Johnny over here has had it since day one simply because he bought it with his Microsoft points. I would still, you know, I'd feel a little accomplished unlocking it after the hard work, but I'd feel like it wouldn't be as special as if everyone had to work for it, you know? It's just like, I could have just paid for this.
Right.
It's like, what's the point anymore? Like, what is the point? Like,
yeah.
It takes the point away. It takes the purpose of even playing the game away. Why aren't we just, like, flinging money at our TVs at that point? It's just like,
Right. Well, in most cases, it works for the benefit of a lot of people. As long as the weapon that you're unlocking is not a total game changer, I think.
Yeah.
It's, if you want to unlock it scot-free, you're more than welcome to, and you get it free, then you don't have to worry about buying it. If people don't want to buy it here and now, they're willing to spend the money, then...
I'm going to have it in a week anyway, so...
They spend the money, and the developers get money off of it.
Yeah, I think that kind of move worked better for a game like Team Fortress that has been out for many years. Like, okay, you know, its hype and its population has died down. Like, kind of cooled, at least.
What if they did where you could buy that stuff, but it was only... You could only use it in certain playlists so that you... If you didn't buy it.
What do you name that? Here's the cheapskate? I mean, no, not the cheapskate. Here's the cheaters playlist? Like, what do you...
I mean, I'm saying, if you want to use it...
Here's the big wig, like, you know, get rich quick playlist? Like, what is this?
I might do it. I mean, if people are going to have a problem with it and they want to do it, maybe the easy way to get out of that is to make a playlist for those people that have that bought it early. I'm not going to say that I enjoy it. I'm just saying it's an option. I mean, would you hate that?
I kind of would. I still feel like, what is the point of me even, like, actually playing the game and working hard to unlock this stuff when, you know, guy over here just bought it and now he's enjoying it? I mean, like, why don't I just buy it? Oh, look, I'm giving them more money. Well, what's the point of even playing the game anymore?
That they're giving you the option.
But I don't know. I just so the option.
Are you
the option
hating your choice right now? Or?
No. The option corrupts it. It's just I don't know. It's just like, what's the point of even playing the game anymore? Like, if I can just get this stuff by buying it, it's just like, don't give me the option.
I don't know. I'm personally of the opinion where if it's not changing the game that drastically, and if the option between you struggling to get it through playing on your own and getting it for free, or you buying it, that's more a personal issue than it is an issue of the game.
Meh.
That's just my opinion. If you guys have your opinions on it, feel free to email us at submissions@podtacular.com. Any of the other stuff that we talked about tonight, because we'll be talking about it in more detail on our next show when we actually have more time to record the podcast.
Chitch.
And everyone's on time.
Bam. Boom shakalaka.
So, I think we have three or four more Game Informer related posts out, so we'll talk about those in detail. We'll talk about more of the VIP details, Louis Wu and Mig Chavez had some write-ups that they did on HBO. We'll talk about that. We'll speculate on the web series at some point down the road, probably within the next week or two. And next week we'll probably have a more detailed bulletin. So we'll have Jessica back. We miss you, BS Angel. Come back to us.
What's BS stand for?
She hasn't said. It's been a secret that she hasn't divulged to anyone.
We'll get it out of her at Halo Fest.
All right, guys. Catch you next time. Keep on fragging trucks.
Keep on fragging trucks.
Keep on fragging.
See ya.
Keep on fragging. Keep on fragging them trucks.
That sounds like a deer. You come down to Ace Hardware. Keep on ragging.
Keep on trucking. Keep on ragging them trucks.
Yeah. Built for tough.
For tough.
Can't frag this truck because it's for tough.